While you're going, kids, I'd invite those of you that you got a bulletin on the way in. There's an outline in there that'll help you to follow along a little bit today with what the Lord wants to say to you. A message entitled, The Long Goodbye. This message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, this is not a what I would consider a deeply theological thing at all. It's not one where we go verse by verse and dig deep and find all these beautiful details in God's Word. This is one kind of where you back up from the whole thing and look at it on a distance a little bit. But my prayer for us today is that it would absolutely just skewer your soul. That it would just pierce you to the heart. And I really want to bring out here, especially for you young people, because I think this is going to happen for the older people today, because we're at a point in our lives where we're a little bit more sensitive, I guess, to the point of this message. But you younger people, you have to, you must, you need to see your life this way. You really desperately do. Because the tendency in where you're at in life is you feel like you're going to live forever, and you know, you just kind of, you don't even think about the brevity of life and things like that, but it goes by so quickly. So I pray for you in particular that you would be able, you would have the wisdom to see life through this lens. Wasn't it a beautiful week? Huh? Was it like the most, I can't remember almost a week, a length of temperature and beauty like this. I mean, it just was gorgeous, and it's going to continue, I guess, for a few days. A beautiful week. Warm sun, cool, fallish-like air. You know, it was just awesome. And my wife and I, we had a conversation this past week on an early morning drive to a hospital visit. We were going to see Bub and Nan there as he was getting ready for surgery. And the morning sun just pierced through the gray shadows as it came up, and it was coming through over a misty landscape, and it was breathtaking in its beauty. And the Holy Spirit, as we drove there, he was just there, you know. And I hope, I really trust that each of you who are married, each married couple has those kinds of Spirit-filled moments together where God is just, He is just loving, and He is speaking, and you are sharing together, and He is cementing you together in His presence. I hope you enjoy those types of moments together. We were having one such moment. And we were commenting together on the beauty of the day and of the just ripening tinges of color, you know, in some of the trees in the early morning light. And Bonnie used this phrase to describe the beauty of fall. She said, fall is like the long goodbye of summer. The long goodbye of summer. And that is so true. Fall tells us summer and its abundant life is leaking away. And winter, death, is around a not too distant corner. Fall is for me, it's like it's painfully beautiful. You know, can you connect with that? I just have this nostalgic, it's so fleeting and it just is painfully beautiful. It's the long goodbye. And Bonnie had borrowed that phrase from a young mother of four children. Her name is Kara Tippetts. Kara is a pastor's wife, ironically. Not sure how old she is. She's pretty young. But Kara is dying of cancer. And she has written two books in the midst of her cancer. One is entitled Mundane Faithfulness, and the other is entitled The Hardest Piece. I think she has a third book, too, But she also writes a daily blog by the same title, mundanefaithfulness.com, and Bonnie has been following Kara's blog as she has been living through this time in her life. There is really nothing that can be done for her. What started as breast cancer has metastasized to multiple places in her brain and body. And her difficult bouts with chemotherapy are solely to extend her life, not to save it. And she's well aware of this. Now, I really want every one of you to listen really closely to this next sentence, because it could change your life from today going forward. Are you ready? I really want this to be etched in your mind. Here it is. Motivated by the fact that she is dying, Kara has decided that she should really live. Motivated by the fact that she is dying, Kara has decided she should really live. And in a recent post, she called her illness the long goodbye. And during this fleeting time, she is wringing all the life in Christ that she can get out of her waning energy. Kara suffers from weakness and sickness accompanying both her illness and also her treatment. Recently, when asked, I thought this was a really neat question. A friend of hers asked her he said, what do your limitations feel like? That's what he asked her. What do your limitations feel like? And here is what she wrote in her blog. She said, "My energy tank runs empty often. I just don't have much go. So I must carefully protect the strength I do have. Rest well so I can go a bit. Plan my big energy events for the end of my chemo cycles. And when I can go, to go with all I have. It's mine to spend. Why would I reserve it for a better day?" But we all do that, don't we? We reserve our strength, hold back our big love, wait for a better day to spend what is ours to spend. Why? Why do we withhold all the love that's been given to us to give? Why do we choose to live in unforgiveness, angry heart, bitterness? It took cancer to cause me to look, to question, to wonder why I don't extend myself in love, in grace, in mercy, in forgiveness, all lavishly bestowed on me in Jesus. I've had to look honestly at my poorly spent health within the confines of sickness. But you healthy one reading, why do you withhold love? Why don't you live in the overflow of today? Are you testing those around you? Is that fair? Love has been given you to give, and you will not regret the giving away of what was never yours to keep. Kara goes on to write, "My dreams have changed. My living has certainly changed in this beautiful, awful journey. But we," meaning herself and her family, "have learned to capture life while it's still before us to live. In small, beautiful moments, we have learned to capture life. It should not have taken cancer. And I'll go further and say it doesn't have to. There is beauty for you to capture today. Even if you are walking unthinkable hard, and I know many of you are." Tuesday, which is her next chemotherapy at the time she wrote this, she says, "Tuesday has grace appointed for it. It's there waiting to capture us. Jesus is there. He's tenderly ready to meet me at that new bottom. There will be beauty in my tears, and I promise there will also be laughter, impossible laughter in the midst of the pain. So Kara describes her life right now as the long goodbye. She is living in beauty and joy. Fall is like that. It's like the long goodbye from summer. It is beauty and joy facing impending death. Kara has awakened to fall, hasn't she? She is living beauty and joy of fall in her impending death. She has met Christ in a new and deeper way, all because she realized it's fall. She is dying. So she is living purposefully, intentionally, lovingly. She is making disciples in her sickness and death like never before in her wellness and life. The green of her health has given way to the dynamic colors of life in Christ. Thousands of people are being encouraged by her blog. Thousands upon thousands will read her books. She is showing her children. She is showing her husband. And in some way, she's showing you and I today how a follower of Jesus Christ lives and dies. Dies and lives. She is living to make disciples. To make disciples with the time, the energy, and the spirit that she has. What are you living for? Just look at me for a second, if you would, please. How many of you have a health issue or two? How many of you have a health issue now that you didn't have 10 years ago? Here are mine. Overweight, back pain, type 2 diabetic, high blood pressure, kidney stones. I had none of those 10 years ago. Not a single one. Maybe a little overweight. My wife says I always thought I was overweight, even when I wasn't. But, you know, that's psychological more than in some ways. How many of you, let me ask you this, how many of you have arms that are no longer long enough to read the bulletin without glasses? Anybody suffer from that one? Yeah, me too. You know why that is, don't you, by the way?
You know why that is?
It's because you can't see. That's exactly right, Glenn. Bingo. I'm just going to tell you a little bit why. You probably know this, but it's because this is the science biologist in me. It's because the lens, okay, that lies behind, just behind the iris, which is the colored part of your eye, that lens has little muscles surrounding it that are anchored within your eye that pull on that elastic, movable lens to change its shape, thus focusing the light on the screen at the back of your eyeball called the retina. Right? And that lens that you see right up here at the left side, that clear white thing, that lens loses elasticity as you age, / as you die. The muscles can't pull it into the right shape so much anymore to focus the light, especially on objects up close, objects like books and bulletins. I used to be able, I remember when I was a kid, I bet you did this too. You remember putting something really close to see how close you could get it to your nose and you could focus on that? Remember that? I used to do that all the time. I remember that. And now, this close, it used to be like this, I was amazed, has become this close and farther. Here's my point. Here's my point. You ready for my point? The long goodbye is now. The long goodbye is now for all of us. You may not have a diagnosis. You may not have a terminal illness. But all of us, every single one of us, young and old, we're dying. We're dying, and that's not the tragic part. We all knew that. We just don't think about it. But the tragic part is some of us have yet to live. That's the tragic part. Some of us possibly are being drawn to Christ, drawn to Christ. Listen, you're living in the long goodbye already. What are you waiting for? He loves you. He is real. The events of the cross are historical fact. There's not one secularist that can explain those events away in a way that is compellingly evidential. His life is historically true. His death, he did die, and they could not produce that body, though there were many who would have loved to have done so and put that thing to rest once and for all. You're living the long goodbye. And he died for you, so death would not be your tragic end, but only the entrance into his presence. He has made death be the eternal hello. So my advice to you, if you don't quite know where you're at in life, is run as fast as you can to Christ. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some of us, others of us, are wasting our days. Some of us are bitter, angry, unforgiving, insecure, stuck in one place. Some of us are distanced from our wives or our husband. Wife, singular. Some of us live in perpetual kind of a seething, grumpy hurt or an anger. Some of us ignore our kids, or kids ignore your parents. Or some of us don't even try anymore in certain relationships. Some of us have grown children, and maybe they don't know the Lord, or you got grandchildren that don't, and maybe you've never really even brought Christ to them. You've never taken that chance, or you've given up. I just want you to imagine today, just imagine that you weren't feeling well next week, okay? Something was off, you knew it, so you went to the doctor, and lo and behold, it's discovered that you have a terminal illness, and say you have 6 months to live. And so all of a sudden you would get serious about relationships, about Christ, and you'd get serious about your salvation. You'd get serious about loving God. You'd get serious about loving your spouse if you have one. You'd get serious about loving your family. You'd get serious about reconciling those broken relationships. You would forgive and you would seek forgiveness. You would take great risks, steps of faith, to reach out to share Christ. Why would that be? Because you don't have much time. You've entered into the long goodbye. Well, I got news for you. You're already there. That's my point today. Every one of us is. We are already there. Make disciples now, today. Lead now. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Christ now. Step up now. Love and obey Jesus Christ now. Speak up now. Don't wait till you're dying. You already are. Get living. Quit letting fear and avoidance be the rudder on your ship that you white knuckle to steer your life. Let faith and love and joy be your choice of flavor in your life. Be a learner of Christ now, who takes risks to make learners of Christ now. Present time, what is it? Christ consciousness. I can't ever say that word. Present time, right now. Be conscious of Christ. You know, Romans 6:23, most of you know it. Very famous passage. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says, you know that? That's not the one. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know that? That tells us, really, we kind of deal with that as information. But really, that tells you two ways to live. It tells you two ways to live. Listen to it. For the wages of sin is death. That's one way to live, all bound up with the wages that come with how others have treated you and how you have treated others. And if you live that way, you'll be disappointed. And that is an understatement. But that is one way to live. It's the most popular way, I suppose you could say, to live. But the rest of the verse is lived by Christ followers who recognize that they don't need a terminal illness to live the long goodbye. To live like tomorrow may not come. You see, there's a gift. There's a gift. Hone in on that word. There is a gift of God's grace, a gift of God, His Son. God is a giver. The gift of God is what, church? Is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Quit looking at that like after I die I get to go to heaven. Eternal life is now. If you know Christ, eternal life is now. And a consequence of knowing Christ now and living Christ now is that when this life is over, the consequence of that is I get to see Him face to face. But eternal life is now. Let's live the gift, not the wages. Let's receive the gift. Let's give the gift to other undeserving people like us. Let's let the world contend with the wages. And if you're stuck because of what's happened to you or stuck someplace in the past, listen, your past is just that. Past. You know, every one of you, I think, knows what I'm talking about here. I know what this is like. You know, 5 years ago or thereabouts, I said things, very tender things, very real things, words of love and forgiveness, words of humility, and words of submission to my dad as he lay there dying. They were things that I should have said when he stood there living. Because the reality was, for all those years, when he stood there living, the long goodbye had already begun for both of us, and I refused to pay attention to that. Listen, it shouldn't take impending death to wake us up to life. Not those of us that claim Christ as Lord and Savior. And I ask you, is it going to take death to awaken you to life? Do you see the light? The Bible describes life in so many ways, how fleeting. It's like a mist. It's like a flower of the field. It's there today. I love morning glories. I planted morning glories. I wanted to do this like for years, and I haven't done it. At our home in Ohio, I had these morning glories that were growing all over our front landscape. They were awesome. I loved them. Well, ever since I came up here, it's like, I got to plant morning glories this summer. I haven't done it till this year. I finally did it. I put them in little pots, and I put each pot underneath the supports to the front porch over there. And I tenderly, as they grew, tied them to the post things, and they started vining up, and they went all the way to the top. There they were, and they grew and grew and grew and grew, green and green and green. I'm going, where are the flowers anyway? I mean, they're busting out there. There's no place else to climb. So I get out there, and I'm clipping off branches. I'm going, it's going to get fall before they bloom. You know, all green. I got on a website and said, how do you get morning glories to bloom? And there was a lot of entries to that, you know. Man, I got stuff about fertilizer. You need more phosphate or potassium or something, you know. And I'm reading all this stuff, and finally, little buds started forming. And the race is on. Is it going to get too cold before they bloom? There are five this morning. If you look at my phone right now, I bet I have 75, 80 pictures of morning glories. This morning, I got up, went to the garage and got the ladder, because I've never had five at one time before, so I got the ladder out there way up at the top. So I took the ladder out front, and I set the ladder out, and I get up there, and I'm clicking pictures away. Why am I telling you this? Really, seriously, why am I telling you this? Bonnie, what was my point? It's got to be tied in with that someplace. Do you see the light? I think I asked you if you saw the light, didn't I? That's what it was. Who said that? Thanks, Jamin. One of you was paying attention. Thank you. It's a flower of the field fading away. That's what it was. Life is like that. The Bible, I'm back on track. The Bible has a lot to say. It describes life in these ways. You know, it's just brief. That's the point. It's just brief, you know? My morning glories, they last one day. That was the point. The flower of the field fading away. They last one day. So I got to get pictures of them all today because, and you know what's amazing? This is another sub point. I found this, I just noticed this because I'm taking pictures of them all the time. They come out really blue, really this deep blue. The next day they're purple. They die purple. It's kind of like the fall, you know how the trees, the morning glories before they die, they turn purple. At least mine do. I don't know. I noticed that. I could show you pictures of the blue. I showed it, didn't I? I got pictures of, look at this, how blue they are. This is, I took this picture the next day and they're like Deb's shirt. That's the color they are. They go from, I don't see anybody with a kind of blue on it. Anyway, life is brief. That's the point. Do you see that? Listen to Ephesians 5. It's light that makes everything visible. I guess what I'm trying to do today is wake you up to that. Do you see that light? And let that inspire you, motivate you to live on the edge with Jesus. You know? Is it? It's light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Don't live like a dead person. If you know Christ, you're not a dead person. And if you don't know Christ, come alive. Come to Christ, you'll come alive, and then you can be challenged to live like a live person instead of a dead person. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of what? Of every opportunity, because don't we know this? The days we're living, there's a lot of evil. And if we don't live in the light, who's gonna? And then he says this, therefore, don't be stupid, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. God's will. How should you be living your life? How should you be relating with other people as a follower of Jesus Christ? What should that look like in relationship to our church, in relationship to people at work, your family? What should that look like? Understand what the Lord's will is. Well, wake up. Because you know what? It's fall, baby. You may not have a diagnosis attached to your disease, but you're dying. What are you waiting for? Love. Love. Speak. Reach out. Reconcile. Forgive. Seek God. Use your mind to seek God. You don't have much time. See, the truth is, Kara didn't start dying when she got cancer. As young as she was, Kara was already dying. It's just that cancer woke her up to that fact. And so she finally decided it was time to live. One of the things that morning when Bonnie and I were on the way through that beautiful fall morning, she got out the Amplified, her Amplified Bible. She reads in the Amplified a lot of times. For those of you that don't know, it's a particular translation where the translator takes the original Greek language of the New Testament and uses as many words in English to get the full emphasis and import of the Greek language. Because from Greek to English is not a word-to-word translation necessarily in meaning. And when you try that, you lose some of the emphasis and some of the detail in the Greek. So the Amplified has said, we're just going to use as many English words to get this idea of the Greek across. And so here's how 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 reads in the Amplified version. It says, therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out of fear. Wearied out of fear. We don't live that way. though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, i.e. the long goodbye, yet our inner self, he's talking to Christ's followers here, those washed in the blood of the Lamb, yet our inner self is being progressively, what's the word? Renewed, day after day. For our light and our momentary affliction, the slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, of vast and transcendent glory and blessedness, never to cease. I like that translation. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal. They're brief. They're fleeting. But the things that are invisible, these truths of Christ and your relationship to Him, are deathless. They are deathless and everlasting. Don't you want to live deathless and everlasting? That's why I said Romans 6:23 is a way of life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As I close today, I really, this inspires me. You know, it does. It makes me want to up it a notch. It makes me want to seek the Lord, to draw nearer to Him and to live more fearlessly. But as we close, I also want to be not just inspiring, but I want to be straight up and really practical. We mentioned God's will, you know, living in the will of God from Ephesians there. What is that? And it's like, you know, I can be all inspired, but if I don't have anything, okay, what do I do? Yeah, I'm all geeked up, you know, but, and then I just go back to the rut that I was in before. So what do we do? Let's get really rock solid, just down to what is God's will for you anyway? In general terms, let's do it this way. I know by the authority of Scripture, let me give you three things. It is God's will that you love God. It is God's will that you love people, and it's God's will that you serve. I know those things are true on the authority of God's word, that you love God, that you love people. And when I say love, I don't mean warm fuzzy. I mean sacrifice, that you give of yourself to other people unconditionally. That it doesn't depend on how they treat you. It's agape, God's love. The kind of love that He's poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. The kind of love that He loves you with. So love God, love people, and serve. Let's get more practical than that. What does that look like to love God? Well, I'm just going to boil it down to one thing. Now, that we can love God in lots of ways. You know, lots of it. You can, let's talk about worship. You can worship God anywhere, right? I worship God in the morning a lot of times. You know, out here at my picnic table, I get bust the book, get my Rhema journal out, and we go to town in prayer and just a time of talking to the Lord, asking questions, trying to listen, trying to get my mind focused. So you can worship God anywhere, but I know one place that is a great place to worship God, and that's right here in this place on Sunday morning, or a church that dynamically preaches, teaches, is engaged and understands that it's about relationship with God and people. Doesn't have to be here, but find one of those and go there and be there and be a part of it. Because in doing so, that's a way that you love God. So go be with that ecclesia, those called out ones. Love God in that way. Make a church, this church, or a church that preaches and teaches the word, part of your life, and be there regular-like. How about love people? Now this one I'm going to get real practical with right here, and I would say this to you. Commit to a small group discipleship. Right? And we have had a small group ministry limping along ever since I got here in 2000, and even a little bit before that. It has been a point of emphasis throughout. But make that a part of your life Because in that context, you can affect, you can disciple and be discipled by, you can learn who Jesus is and practice who Jesus is in that group. It's not a magic bullet or anything. You can hide there too, but it's a place where you'll be challenged to enter into community in Christ. So love God, be in a church, a Sunday morning worship, love people, commit to a small group. Right now in our church, our small group commitment together is Sunday night at the Family Project. My small group used to meet on Wednesday, so we're not doing that anymore because we're meeting in small groups with the topic of the family on the table, and that's our small group right now. When we're done with the Family Project, we're going to be ramping up a small group ministry in a different format, in a different way. But we're going to be doing that because that's a great way to love people. So love God, love people, and then serve. And when I say serve, serve God's people in your church, serve God's people out in the world, show Christ to them. And there are a lot of different ways we can do that here. I like to, in my small group, we had emphasized for quite a bit of the summer that we're going to serve together as a group, and we would go visiting together once in a while, and we had a whole list of different things that we could do to serve together as a group of believers. So those three things, love God, love people, and serve. And there's some practical challenges to you. Let's live fully aware, can we, of the brevity and the blessing that is each day. Do you understand, folks, that this is the only September 28th, 2014 that you will ever live? That's 3 seconds of silence that just went by. You will never get those back. They're gone. There won't be another. So make it count. Make it count. And you can't do that on your own. You need to draw near to Jesus Christ. Draw near to God through Him. And you will be a force for eternity. Make it count. This day is passing. It's dying. And we with it. The long goodbye is already here, folks. Live in His will. Are you saved? If you are, then live. If you're not, then come to the cross of Christ. Get washed in the blood. And then love God, love people, and serve. Father, thank you for this time that we could kind of focus on, just kind of back up from life and look at it a little bit and maybe wake up to the importance of the moments that we just kind of float through sometimes. Jesus didn't do that. I thank you so much that Jesus didn't do that, that he was fully aware of your will for him, that he sought you, that he woke up. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer just to seek your face, Heavenly Father. As a human being, we know he was God, but we tend to ignore the humanity of Christ sometimes, and we miss so much of our own humanity because we overlook that. He sought you. He sweat blood seeking you in prayer. The disciples looked at his life and said, Lord, teach us to pray, because that's why you're so special, because of that relationship, that spirit that you have, that you connect with your Father in spirit like that in prayer. Father, you have opened up the way that we can seek you and know you and have that same dynamic power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not a mystical, goofy thing, and we're going to flop on the ground and roll around and do stuff like that. It's supernatural living in a very natural way, where people are drawn to you through our lives. I pray that we would desire that for us, that we give you our fear, our insecurities. And if we can't let go of those and give them to you, I pray that we would really start to do the soul surgery that is necessary to heal, to recover, so that we can make the most of every day for your honor and your glory. Thank you for the gift of life. It is precious. It is precious, both our physical lives and the spiritual life that you lavish upon us in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you would just work in us and raise each individual up to the power, the powerful life and influence that you have for them in Christ as a follower of Jesus Christ, unapologetic, unashamed, confident, bold, yet gentle and sensitive to the hurts and pains of other people. Just like Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.